This part of the lecture is on the important role that futures markets play in pricing oil. Very recently, a bill was introduced in Congress that wanted to define price gouging in gasoline markets this way. Any finding that the average price of gasoline available for sale to the public in September 2005 or thereafter in a market located in an area designated as a state or national disaster area because of Hurricane Katrina exceeded the average price of such gasoline in that area for the month of August 2005, unless the Commission finds substantial evidence that the increase is substantially attributable to additional costs in connection with production, transportation, delivery, and sale of gasoline. In other words, Congress wants to say that the price should not have gone up after Hurricane Katrina. And if you raised your price after Hurricane Katrina, then you would be guilty of price gouging. Now, imagine a similar rule for selling your house, a rule that said you cannot sell it for more than what it cost last year. That could be defined as price gouging. Do people sell their houses for more than what they paid for them? They do that all the time. Or imagine that you bought stock and you bought it last week and now you want to sell it for a higher price this week. Could you be accused of price gouging? So the question is, what if gas stations, another way to put this, what if gas stations sold gas for less than what it cost last month? If selling it for more than what it cost last month is a crime, shouldn't selling it for less than what it cost last month be a crime? And then a final point is that when you have a sudden drop in supply, why shouldn't the price go up? If, as I pointed out in one of the first lectures in this class, if the price had not gone up after Hurricane Katrina, the result would have been shortages. People would have been running out of gasoline, and people who really needed gasoline couldn't have bought it. So one of the results of the price increase was a lot of people cut back on their driving, which is what we needed given that we'd had a hurricane that had taken out a lot of our supply. So the price going up was a normal part of the adjustment process to a sudden drop in supply. You cannot have a sudden drop in supply and have no impact on the consumer. Either you're going to run out or the price has to go up. And it's actually a lot easier for consumers to deal with higher prices than to show up at a gas station and find out that there's nothing there. All right, let's talk about the process of pricing gasoline. So imagine that today is September 1st. You bought gasoline in August for $2 a gallon. The futures price of gasoline for delivery on October 1st shoots up to $3 a gallon. That is, you know that on October 1st, you can either buy or sell gasoline for $3, or at least as of today, if you contract to buy or sell gas in October, that on October 1st, that's going to be the price. So imagine it's September 1st, a month from now, the price on these futures markets is $3 a gallon. So if I have gasoline to sell and I hold on to it to October 1st, I can sell it for $3. If I want to buy gasoline to replace what I might sell now, and I want to enter in a contract to buy it now, for delivery October 1st, it'll cost me $3 a gallon. Next, suppose that the one-month interest rate is 1%. What should be the price at which you sell gasoline today? We can take a rent versus buy approach to that. That is, our choices are, so we've got some gasoline now that we bought at $2 a gallon. We can either sell it now and put the money in the bank to collect interest, or we can wait a month to sell it. And we can use our old formula, profitability equals rental rate plus appreciation rate minus interest cost. Well, assume that there's no rental value of holding gasoline. We've got it in the ground. We can't really rent it to anybody for any reason. So when we set profitability equals zero, all we're doing is we're saying that the appreciation rate has got to equal the interest cost. And if the interest cost for 1 month is 1%, then the appreciation rate has to be 1%. What that means is that prices must be set now in order to appreciate 1%. So the price now must be $2.97, and when it appreciates by 1%, it'll be worth about $3. So the price now must be about $2.97 a gallon if the October 1st futures price is $3 a gallon. Note that the price has nothing to do with what we paid for it. If we'd paid $4 for it, the price should still be $2.97. If we paid $2 for it, it should still be $2.97. It's the October 1st futures price that determines the price that we should sell it now. Well, what would happen if we decided to be nice and sell it for $2.50? Well, we could sell it for $2.50 and put the money in the bank and get 1% interest on it, and in the end we'd have about $2.53, which is less than what we'd get if we just hang on to the gasoline and sell it in October. Because we know that if we sign a futures contract now, we can sell it for $3 in October. So it doesn't make sense for us to sell it now for a much cheaper price and put the money in the bank, because we could be better off waiting and selling it. Well, why don't we sell it for $3.50 now? Well, I think we would if we could, but if the futures price is $3 a gallon and everybody's thinking that they can sell it, they want to sell for about $2.97 a gallon, competition is going to drive the price down to the $2.97 a gallon. Next, let's consider what would happen if the rental rate were positive. Why would the rental rate be positive? Well, there may be a convenience yield. That is, as a gas station owner, I want to make sure that I have gasoline around so that customers don't show up, find that there's no gasoline, and then decide never to come back to my station again. So that's what we mean by a convenience yield. And suppose that the convenience yield is 2%. So that substitutes for the rental rate in this case. In some sense, the value to me of having some gasoline in inventory, let's say, is worth about 2%. In that case, the profitability, again, we set equal to zero, is now equal to 2%, which is the convenience yield or rental rate, plus the appreciation rate minus one, which was the interest cost. So setting that equal to zero, the appreciation rate has to be minus 1% in order for profitability to be zero, in which case a price of $3.03. So the point is, if there is some convenience yield to having an inventory of gasoline available from the gas station owner's point of view, then that would drive the price up actually above the futures price. So instead of being below the futures price, the current price could be slightly above it, say $3.03 as opposed to $2.97. But note that it's still very close to the futures price. Now, a related question: could we be about to run out of oil? And here's where the futures markets help. The futures markets can help to keep us from running out of oil. And here's how. Here's an economist named James Hamilton, who's an expert on energy markets and how energy markets affect the economy. He writes, "Suppose you told me that, as a result of a careful examination of oil reservoirs, you were certain that annual oil production was just about to plummet and would be 30% below its current level in 2 years." So imagine you could forecast a 30% decline in supply in 2 years. He says, "Well, oil is going to become extremely valuable under this scenario in a very short period of time. Let's say for a discussion we're talking about $2 a barrel 2 years hence. Then I would like to make the observation that if the facts were indeed as we just conjectured, oil surely could not continue to sell for $60 a barrel today." And he's making the same sort of rent versus buy argument that I made before, an arbitrage argument. "Anybody who pumps a barrel out of a reservoir today to sell at $60 could make three times as much money if they just left it in the ground for another 2 years before pumping it out. The same is true for anybody with above ground storage facilities. They're throwing away money and lots of it for every barrel they sell at $60 that they could have instead stored for 2 years and sold for $200. If oil prices oil producers did respond to these very strong incentives by holding back oil from today's market, the effect would be to drive today's price up. This profit seeking wouldn't drive the price all the way to $200 because you have significant interest, storage, and idle capacity expenses from trying to wait around a couple of years before getting your profit. An economist would expect the end result of this profit seeking to be that the price today is lower than it will be in 2 years by an amount that reflects these interests and other expenses, but certainly far less than the difference between $60 and $200 a barrel. He then goes on to give an example of, perhaps the price today would rise to $180 and it would appreciate at 10% a year or thereabouts for the next 2 years. That could be one plausible scenario if you could predict $200 a barrel 2 years from now. So that's the argument about why we would not run out of oil, because as the potential for a supply shortfall becomes clearer, the futures price will go up, and that means the current price will go up. When the current price goes up, that affects three things. It affects conservation, exploration, and alternative energy sources. Conservation we've actually already seen with the recent run-up in oil. There's been less gasoline consumption than there was last year at this time because of the higher price of gasoline. Exploration is also going up. People are exploring more areas to try to develop oil. And finally, alternative energy sources become profitable as the price of oil goes up. So for those reasons, you wouldn't run out of oil. You'd expect to see a gradual transition to a higher price of oil. Now, oil futures and options markets predict the future price of oil. Let's look at another James Hamilton piece. He talks about how to calculate using something called options markets, which are a little bit like futures markets, except they're one-way bets. So if you have a call option on oil, that means that if the oil price shoots up, you make money. If the oil price goes down, then you just lose a little bit. So they're sort of like one-way bets. You lose a little bit if prices stay the same. You win a lot if prices go up. That would be a call option. And from those call options, you can infer the value of, or the probability that the price of oil will hit a particular level. And if you scroll to the sort of the middle of the page, the end of his post, you'll see a table that says price per barrel and the probability that the price will be below P. And this is for the June 2006 oil price. So he's calculated using the the options market. He calculates that the markets think that there's a probability of just 3% that prices will fall below $30 a barrel by June of 2006. 15% chance that they'll be below $40 a barrel. 34% chance that they'll be below $50 a barrel. 54% chance that they'll be below $60 a barrel, and a 93% chance that they'll be below $100 a barrel. So there's only a 7% chance in the view of the market that oil prices will be above $100 a barrel in June of 2006. So that's how you can use the options markets to figure out the probability that oil will reach a particular level. Next, I want to look at a futures price chart. So I'm going to click on that link. And there you can see the price of crude oil in a bunch of different months. So the first month on the chart says NOV05. That means November of the year 2005. The last thing on the bottom of the chart is December 11th. That's not December the 11th, that's December of 2011. And if you look at the last column, that gives you the price of a barrel of oil being predicted for that month. So for November of 2005, predicting a price of $63 a barrel. Then it drops slightly, then it goes up in 2006 to a peak of $63.73 a barrel in June of 06. And then it starts dropping after that, which is sort of interesting that over a long term, the markets expect the price of oil to decline again, which suggests that they think that either demand is going to be curtailed, oil exploration is going to be successful, or alternative energy is going to start to kick in. So they're predicting a gradual decline in the price of oil, not a steady increase. So what the markets seem to be saying is that we will have enough oil, that the prices are going to remain close to where they are now, but they're not going to rise further. Returning then to the page where I have the lecture, note that the market can be surprised. The market's not always perfect. A couple of years ago, if you'd looked at the table of futures prices like that, the prices would have been in the 40s. So people were surprised at how high the price of oil went. The conclusion here is that oil prices depend on expectations for the future. This kind of backward-looking way of trying to price oil and oil products, which Congress apparently wants to advocate in their definition of price gouging, is contrary to economics. Economics says you should look ahead, look at what the supply and demand situation for oil will look like several years from now, which can be the best guess for that probably comes from the futures markets. And then you can work backwards from the futures prices to say what oil prices should be today. And so the key point is that in order to best balance the supply and demand for oil and oil and oil products ought to be priced on the basis of futures prices. And those prices do not necessarily have anything to do with what you paid for oil or gasoline in the past.